taken under advisement. We move to the next case this morning, number 8, Jackson versus City of Chicago. Marshall?
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, and thank you for hearing me. My name is Emmett Marshall, and it's our appeal to this court. Basically, we stylize it as a motion for clarification. What is not a motion to try to amend the lower court's ruling. All we're trying to do at this particular point is to clarify basically what happened. The city filed a motion to dismiss based on three grounds: the Younger exemption, Rockwell Feldman, and res judicata. The court entered one statement that this matter is dismissed with prejudice without any rulings or any providing us with any of his reasons at all. At the same time, there was a chancery proceedings which was filed in the same year, 02CH21231, and based on the court's ruling in the federal case that was pending before the court at that time, it was brought to the Chancery Court attention that this matter had already dismissed, and it at this time was being used, the federal order was being used as res judicata for the Chancery proceedings which were occurring in state court. Now, all we wanted to know was, based on, when we looked at the case law was sort of clear. If it was under the Rockwell Feldman, it would have been a dismissal without prejudice. If it was under the Younger abstention, it was based on a forcible eviction and detainer, which is a summary proceeding, as we argue, which only deals with possession. In fact, you can lose possession and still own the property, as noted in the condominium association laws, where people lose their possession for not paying their association fees, but they still own the property. And based on those factors, all we were trying to do is ascertain that the reasoning for the dismissal, so we can flesh our arguments in the state court. But if just saying this matter is dismissed, motion filed 12-16, dismissed on 12-19. It was no arguments, opportunity, or procedural arguments given to the defendant at that particular time, or we don't have a response of his, which none was going. But it's my understanding that they were proceeding in the state court. So based upon that, based upon the court's ruling at that particular time, it completely precluded the state action as to all elements of the state action, and we would just if that be the case. But in court, all we were trying to do is get the rule to comply with 51, where they give the reasons, so we would know how to proceed at that particular time in state court. And at that particular time, was ruled for sanctions because the city was arguing that these arguments were heard already in the and federal court, and we weren't sure. And that's basically what we're trying to ascertain now. And that's basically it.
Thank you, counsel. Pastor?
May it please the court. As we understand counsel's argument here this morning, all he was seeking at the district court level was for the district court to clarify its order. If that is the case, it appears to the city that the denial of a motion for clarification is not a final order that would support appellate jurisdiction. The city's position has always been, based on the substance of Jackson's motion in the district court, despite its title as a motion for clarification, that this was in fact a motion to alter or amend the district court's judgment. When you read the substance of the motion, Jackson is arguing that none of the bases cited in the city's motion to dismiss, Rooker-Feldman, Younger abstention, or res judicata, warranted the dismissal of his case. He is clearly quarreling, therefore, with the district court's order dismissing his complaint. This court has held that a substantive motion to alter or amend a judgment filed more than 10 days after the entry of that judgment must be treated as a Rule 60B motion despite some other title or some other being styled in some other fashion. This is precisely the situation we have here. Jackson's motion was filed not even 10 months after the entry of the final judgment, let alone 10 days. And again, as I said a moment ago, when you read the substance of the motion, it is clearly an attempt to convince the district court to reconsider its ruling and reinstate Jackson's claim. As a Rule 60B motion, which the district court properly treated this motion as, it is simply insufficient. It is insufficient for two reasons. I'll explain this morning, and the district court did not abuse its discretion in denying this motion. First, this motion was untimely. As I said a moment ago, this motion was filed nearly a year and a half, some 17 months, after the district court entered its order dismissing Jackson's complaint. Jackson has offered no explanation to this court for this delay. Without an explanation, a delay of nearly a year and a half is simply unreasonable. Moreover, this motion is insufficient because it is not tailored to any of the specific grounds for relief listed in Rule 60B. Jackson's argument does not even mention Rule 60B, and in fact, he disavows that the motion is a Rule 60B motion. Nevertheless, as we've explained, the district court properly treated it as such, and the substance of it indicates that it is, in fact, a Rule 60B motion. Jackson's argument, while again not mentioning Rule 60B, is limited to arguing that the district court made an error of law in dismissing his complaint. This is entirely improper. This court has held that a Rule 60B motion is not intended as a substitute for a direct appeal. The district court, therefore, properly denied what is Jackson's Rule 60B motion. If there are no questions, I will conclude by asking that the judgment of the district court be affirmed.
Thank you, Ms. Marshall. Further?
Thank you. Again, just briefly, Your Honor, again, all we were trying at that time, if the court be advised that there were concurrent litigations, and all we were trying to do is find out from Rule 51 the court's reasoning to see how this litigation impacts on the litigation that's in state court. And we're not trying to amend the order if it completely dismisses the state action. It does that, but we still would benefit us if we had the reasoning for the rendering of court's order. Thank you.
Thank you. I move to the